Please turn with me in your Bibles to the first letter of Peter. First Peter, towards the end of the New Testament. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. And verses 13 and 14. First Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And our subject this evening is the duty of submission. The duty of submission. Well, we continue in our series. We're working our way through this first letter of Peter, the Apostle Peter. And this evening we have come to these verses before us. And this subject can be quite controversial. This is not a subject that is that many people like to consider, or like to consider what the scriptures say about these things. But nevertheless, we must look at every word of scripture. Every word of God is inspired and is profitable, of course, for us, including these words. And they teach us so much about how we are to live, how we are to witness before men in this present age. And the apostle has been speaking about our witness in this chapter. This is the context in which we come to these verses. We looked last week at verse 12, amongst other verses. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We are exhorted to have our conversation honest among the Gentiles. Our conversation, our conduct, in other words, our behavior, is to be honest, is to be holy. That is how a Christian ought to behave amongst everybody, amongst Christians, and particularly amongst unbelievers. Because, certainly in this context, in the time of the Apostle Peter, the first Christians were eyed with suspicion. People were ready to make all kinds of accusations against Christian people. And they so often did. And so the apostle is saying, prove them wrong. You Christian people, you see these Gentiles, they want to attack you. They're waiting for any opportunity to bring you down and to make accusation against you. Prove them wrong. Don't give them any opportunity to do that. Have your conversation honest. Live holy lives. Do those things that are right. Do those things that are pleasing in the sight of the Lord. So whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And it's the same for us, of course, as Christians in the modern age. When we live holy lives, well, it is a powerful witness to the world around us. The world around us is, generally speaking, anti-Christian, increasingly so as we live day by day, week by week, and year by year. The society is anti-Christian, and they're always looking for a reason to accuse us. And so we must live holy lives, lives of self-denial, lives of humility, faithfulness, patience, long-suffering. And if we do that, well, then they will see our good works. They will glorify God in the day of visitation. And well, we mentioned that last week. Our worship, our witness rather, our godly witness can lead to the conversion of an unbeliever. And we mentioned last week, of course, that our lives are the closest some people get to reading the Bible. Many people don't read the scriptures. Many people don't come to church. If we know these people, we are possibly the closest thing they will get to reading the scriptures. So we are to reflect the holiness of the Word of God to them. And well, the Lord may use these things that they may in turn be saved, that they will see the witness of a Christian and they may wonder, why is this Christian so patient? Why is this Christian so kind, so generous? His God must be real. There must be something real and true in his profession of faith. If he's like this and nobody else is, there must be some divine power working in him, the Holy Spirit working in him. And even with their acknowledgement of that, they are glorifying God. They may not even come to saving faith themselves, but if they see the difference, if they see that you are set apart from the rest of the crowd, that in itself is glorifying God. And so this is how we ought to be as believers in an unbelieving world. We must live holy lives, and our bold witness may cause a non-believer to come to the Lord, to glorify God, even repentance and faith. And so this is why our witness is so very important, because the Lord uses it to gather in the elect. So these verses, they're speaking about our witness and what it means to be a bold witness. And these verses that we're going to consider, they are a very important part of our witness. And this is the subject that we will consider this evening. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors. Submit yourselves. That's part of our witness as Christian believers. Submission, even though the majority of people in our society, in the modern world, seem to hate that word submission nowadays, submission is not a word that Christians ought to hate. The word submission should not pose any great problems for a Christian, because we by nature, or by our new nature, I should say, if we are true born-again believers and we have the new nature, our new nature is defined by submission. It's characterized by submission, in that we as Christians, we have already submitted to Christ. We have already submitted to God. We were not like that before. When we were born, our sinful human nature, we rebelled against Christ and we rebelled against God and we hated the word of God and we did not want God's authority to rule and reign over us. But if we are Christian, that's changed. We have submitted ourselves. That's the essential feature of our Christian identity. We're no longer fighting against God. We have submitted to him. So for a Christian, we don't have any reason to hate or dislike the word submission, because that's a great part of our character. It's a fundamental part of our character. We've submitted to the Lord. We want him willingly to rule and to reign over our lives. And God has worked in us and enabled us and humbled us so that now we do obey. And we do submit. It's Christian character. It shows that we are no longer proud, but that we are indeed saved by grace. We are indeed recipients of grace. To submit, it shows that you have the grace of God in you. We remember what is written in James chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. He's speaking about those who are proud, who will be resisted by God. And he speaks about grace being given to the humble. And then immediately the next words, submit yourselves therefore to God. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. This is how a Christian is to be. This is a fundamental part of the Christian faith and of Christian character. So this word, these verses, should not pose any problems for us at all. Submission is not a difficult thing for us. And there is more that we could say. As Christians, we obey the law of God. We're not saved by the law of God, but we don't reject the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and we submit to these. And in fact, in the Ten Commandments, there is a specific commandment that is very similar to the principles that we read here. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and mother. You see, right from childhood, right from the time we are infants, we know that there are earthly authorities over us. God has appointed earthly authorities over us, our parents, our father and our mother. Right from an early age, we are taught this principle that God has appointed over us earthly authorities. Honor thy father and mother. It's the first thing we learn, and we are to follow this principle as we get older. We have parents. They are to be honored. They are to be obeyed. We must submit to them, and that is the training right from a very early age that we are to continue as we go on in life. Earthly authorities, father and mother. And the same thinking is extended here. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. In other words, every earthly authority, every government that we live under, any authority that is over us, we ought to submit to them. Again, people in the time of the Apostle Paul, many of the Gentiles, they were suspicious against the Christians. Great charges were being made that they were seditious. They wanted to lead an uprising against the Romans, against the authorities. People were saying that these Christians were dangerous. And so this is why Peter is saying, prove them wrong. Prove that you are not seditious, that you're not seeking any uprising. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Put these people to silence. Well, we just jump ahead to verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. This was part of their witness. This was part of their honest conversation, so that no man could make accusation against them. And so, this applies to us, of course. We submit to the government, to the ruling powers. We may not like the ruling powers. We may not like necessarily what they stand for politically. The ruling powers may not even like us. We know, generally speaking, from the book of Revelation and so on, that Satan will work through the ruling powers to persecute the church and to persecute Christians. So we may not particularly like the ruling powers. They may not like us. But as far as we can, we must be law-abiding citizens. We must obey the law. It may be that some of the laws, particularly that we see nowadays, they may be very unreasonable. Some of the laws may be very inconvenient. Some laws, well, sometimes we don't like the government just because we think things were better 20 years ago or 30 years ago, and we resent the present government. But those are not valid reasons. Just because things may appear to be inconvenient or unreasonable or making our lives a little bit harder, that is no reason for a Christian to rail against the government or to disobey or to even speak evil of our leaders. We read in Exodus 22 and verse 28, you don't have to turn to it, but in that verse there's an instruction that we shall not curse the ruler of thy people. We shall not curse the ruler of thy people. Now, we know it's very trendy nowadays. The world around us likes to mock and criticize and lampoon our leaders and political leaders. We ought not to be like that. We ought not to curse the ruler of the people, the governments, and so on. We are actually called, of course, to pray for our rulers, not curse them, to pray for them, to pray that they will have wisdom to govern the land aright, to pray that they will even turn to the Lord. We can pray for that. We know in Proverbs 21 that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. We can pray for our rulers, and we submit to their authority. You know, sometimes the question is asked, should Christians join protests? Should Christians protest against the government? Well, when you look at these verses and when you look at other verses supporting them, a protest, that seems to go directly against this instruction. A protest, when you protest, it doesn't really look as though you're submitting, as though you're submitting to the authority of a government, particularly nowadays with the propensity for violence and so on, and obscene things being chanted and slogans and so on at protests nowadays. A Christian ought not to be part of those things. If we have an issue, if there is something that is deeply concerning us about the government and so on, well, we go through the proper channels, or even better, we make our petitions to the Lord. We pray to God. We know that God is over our earthly rulers, and we pray to him and say, Lord, there are these evil things being planned in government, evil things being planned for the nation, overrule and intervene. That's who we make our petitions to. We don't need to go to the streets and protest. That's what the unbeliever does. The one who does not have God, does not have a hold on God, never prays for anything. That's what they are inclined to do. But we have these instructions for us. We know the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. We know that we must not curse the ruler of our people. We know that we must pray for our rulers. And so we bring everything to the Lord. We submit to the authorities, and well, in all things, paying our taxes, that was a big issue in the time of Christ, doing those things that may be irksome, speed limits you could think of at this present time, and so on. All of these things we submit ourselves to, because this is what the Lord would have us do. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, the highest leader, the highest earthly authority, or unto governors, delegates. So in the time of Christ, the king would have been Caesar, and the governors would have been people like Pilate, the proconsul. And remember when Christ was before Pilate, he submitted. He submitted to the will of Pilate. He didn't demand to see Caesar. He didn't say, I'm the Son of God and I must see the highest earthly authority. There was a delegated power before Christ, Pilate, and he submitted to him and to his decision. But remember what Christ said to Pilate. You will know these words. Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. So Christ, of course, he knew there was that earthly power which has been ordained of God, appointed of God. And this is, of course, what we remember. All the earthly authorities above us, they have been appointed by God. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Not because we like the politicians or because we like the governments, but for the Lord's sake. He's the one who's put them in that place. This is the great reasoning. And well, we ought to maybe turn to Romans chapter 13, because this is a parallel passage that supports what is written in 1 Peter. So if we just turn to Romans chapter 13, and this will help our thinking. Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, those earthly powers. Romans chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ said to Pilate, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And then the Apostle Paul goes on, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, whoever resists the earthly power, resisteth the ordinance of God. So in resisting an earthly power and railing and seeking to overthrow and so on, what you're actually ultimately doing, you're resisting the ordinance of God, what God has ordained, what God has appointed. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Well, these are strong words. Perhaps the apostle is speaking about penalties against those who resist earthly powers, or perhaps he means, which is what very often happens, people who protest against a certain form of government and who unlawfully seek to remove that government, very often they get worse governments after that. They think everything is going to be fine if we just get this government out of the way. They get something worse. They receive to themselves damnation. In other words, no good comes of it at all. So these things, well, these are very interesting. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. In other words, to maintain law and order. And well, if we turn back to 1 Peter and verse 14, it's the same sentiment here, or the same meaning. Or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. If there was no earthly government, if it was just anarchy, as there are in certain parts of the world, or occasionally there are, places where there is anarchy, well, what happens? Wickedness abounds. Where there's no government, no authority, it's not a beautiful place, it's not a utopia, it's wickedness and sin. And so these governments are in place for the punishment of evildoers, so that evildoers know that they cannot just simply do what they want to do without punishment. These governments are in place for the punishment of evildoers. If there's no government, evil is going to abound. Evil is going to reign. And so there is a reason. God has established these governments for the punishment of evildoers. And even, well, liberal governments like ours, there is still punishment for wicked things and crimes and so on. And this is what the apostle is putting across here. And for the praise of them that do well, to promote law and order, and well, Christian people ought to be those who, as far as they can, serve as model citizens in the sight of the government. But by the way, it's not just the government. I must move on quickly. It's not just the government. Of course, there are other places of authority where we must submit. There's the workplace, of course. I've spoken about being model citizens. Are we model employees in our workplaces? Those of you in workplaces, again, in workplaces, when I was at work, it was commonplace for people to speak badly about the boss, about the one in authority. That was the thing that everyone did. Just speak badly, badmouth the leader, don't really do what they say. We ought not to be like that. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Diligent, hardworking, model employees at schools, of course, young people, if you're believers, model students, keeping the rules of the school, not going along with the unruly crowd. Even though the rules may seem unreasonable, well, we do our best, endeavor to do our best to keep them. And of course, well, in the church, submit yourselves to the leadership of the church. And I'm not trying to say this just for my own sake, but any pastor, any church you go to, any church officers, diaconate, and so on, we are instructed in the scriptures to submit to those who have the rule over you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Submit yourself to the authority in the church. God has most certain. If God has appointed the politicians and the governments in the world, God has most certainly appointed the officers in his church. And so if you're railing against them without reason, of course, if they're heretics and if they're false teachers, of course, you have to. You leave the church. But otherwise, if you're railing against them for no reason and you're constantly carping about them and criticizing them, that is not submission. Yes, of course, you can ask questions and suggest things and so on, but we all know there is a difference between asking genuine questions and constant criticism and discontentment. The order that we see in Scripture is the church officers lead and the fellowship, the members, they submit. It's not the other way around. Sometimes in the modern church, people think it's the other way around. The fellowship dictate to the church officers what should be done in the church, and the church officers have to submit to the members. That's not what is written in the scriptures. We must submit ourselves to those who have the rule over us. It's not the other way around. Otherwise, that's a mockery. That's not really a church. We are called to submit ourselves in every other area of life. The church, of course, is no different. And sadly, well, many have issues and difficulties with that. But this is what is written for us. Now, of course, we can't close our thinking on this without giving the exception, because we all know that this same Apostle Peter said something very interesting. If we just turn to Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, well, verse 29 is the main verse, but let's start at verse 27. This same apostle who is teaching us to submit to the authorities, look at what he said. In Acts chapter 5, let's read from verse 27. And many of you will know these words very well. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest, asking them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So Peter and the other apostles, they've been preaching Christ, and they're told not to. They're commanded not to by the authorities, by the earthly authorities. But look at what Peter said. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Well, of course, in those things, in those issues, when we are called or when we are commanded to do something that goes against the will of God and that goes against the commandment of God, the apostles were clearly taught to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Christ had given them that commission, and no man, no government can command them otherwise. They must obey God rather than men. And so if we at any time, even by the government, are instructed, commanded to do something that we know goes against the word of God and is immoral and indecent and offends our God, well, we must, as Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We must do. It's very clear. Sometimes the situations we find ourselves in, particularly in this current climate, are not as clear-cut as we would like them to be, but there are exceptions. We don't blindly obey the government. We must hearken to the word of God and apply the principles of the word of God. And there are times, most certainly, and there will most likely be many times in the years ahead, when we ought to obey God rather than men. But by the way, they took that stand. Peter and the other apostles took that stand. But they always submitted to the punishment, to the consequences for taking that stand. They would be imprisoned, they would be beaten, they would be scourged. And you know, well, we have to be prepared to do the same. If we are going to take a stand for God, if, for example, by preaching Christ from the pulpit, we were to be fined, well, we ought to be prepared to pay the fine. Not resist that, not grumble against it. We're making a stand for Christ, yes, but we submit to the law, we'll pay the fine. If to evangelize, to go out and evangelize, it would mean that a preacher or a pastor may be imprisoned, well, you must be prepared to submit to that for the Lord. We must go out, we must evangelize. If it means imprisonment, we submit to it. And this is, this is how we do both things, as it were. We obey God rather than men, but still the principle is there. But we submit to the authorities. And well, we pray to the Lord and leave all things with Him. So these things, well, very important. And maybe that's a good place for me to stop while my voice is just about to die out. But these things, well, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. This is the will of God for us. It's a difficult thing to consider at times, but may the Lord bless us and help us to apply these things in the right way in the days ahead.